Okay, so we have here, first we have a shvuz from the Yeshiva, which is in the Chidush Alei, which is an extremely nice, yisraelistic, famous shvuz, one of the Yeshiva's most famous shvuzim. And then what I want to do is I want to say a shvuz, using that shvuz, I want to say a completely different shvuz. In other words, using that shvuz as the Kayachatzir or whatever, for a completely different shmooze, which I think is also a very nice shmooze. But we'll see. What was Rosh Hashiva shmooze? There is a Sipurnu. Now, the Sipurnu is not so clear what's he going on, what's his hechruch, but I would assume that there's a problem in the Pasuk, Pesukim in Va'era. That in the beginning of Va'era, it says, in the Sturset talks, Hashem speaks to Moshe V'Aaron. And then it says, Eide Roshe Beis Avaisam. These are the heads of the families. Same mentions Reuven, then Shimon, and their children, then Levi, and their children, and it goes to Moshe V'Aaron, and then it stops. So it's very strange. If the Torah wants you Miyaches Klai Yisrael, you go Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and stop. So Rashi says subshat, why he's doing it, but what I suspect that the Sipurnu is having a pshat, that the Torah's purpose here is not to explain, go through the yichus of Klal Yisrael, but the Torah is trying to explain why did Hashem pick Moshe V'Aaron, why were they chosen to be the manhigim of Klal Yisrael. What was so special about Moshe V'Aaron? So the answer is, as we'll see in the Sipurnu, that the person who has the Sipurnu's answer, I'm saying it outside, but we'll read it inside, is that the Moshe and Aaron were chosen because they had the closest link, I wouldn't say to Har Sinai, obviously, because Har Sinai didn't happen yet, but the closest link to Yaakov, to Avram, Yitzchak, because the nature of their parents, grandparents, they lived longer, so therefore they had the closest link. So, you would have thought that Reuven and Shimon had a closer link. After all, their parents were older. So the parents were older, then they would have the closest link. They got to learn, Reuven got to learn from the earlier generations. He was older. So the Pasuk is saying that Reuven and Shimon, even though they were older, they did not have that much of a connection for whatever reason, either because they had, but then they died, so their kids didn't have it, or their grandchildren didn't have it. But Moshe V'Aaron, their parents had this close connection to Levi, because they were the next oldest, and yet they also lived the longest, and therefore they were able to mashpi on their grandchildren. Okay, that's a Sipurnu. Let me read it inside. Eide Roshe Beis Avosam. Bedin. Bedin means that this is right. Minas Eide. There was a reason why they were chosen. There's a proper reason. Sarim Yisrael, to be the Sarim Aklai Yisrael. Ki heim oya nechbodem ikumah, because they were the best. Vizeh. Why were they the best? Ki Reuven Bechor Yisrael. Reuven was really the Bechor. So in a certain sense, he should have been the best, or his family should have been the best. But the Loayim, he said, Sav, Anashan, Ruin, Mikar, Mishem. But they didn't have his family, his descendants were not Roy. Zulase, Bonav, and Eskarim, except for the children who would be mentioned in the Pasuk, who did learn from Reuven. Shoye, Beklau, Ay, Nevesh, but they Kfar Mesu, but they died already. So even though Reuven had some descendants who were on a tremendously high Madrega, they were Nifter. Moshe Beer, Levi lived an extra long life. If you look in the Sfarim, and he lived around 10, 20 years extra than his other brothers. He lived longer than all the other Shvatim. So he was able to teach, to be mashpi on his grandchildren. It wasn't just Levi lived longer, but also Levi's son lived longer, so he also had a more hashpah on the grandchildren. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't just learn from Amram. He learned from Levi. He learned from Kohath. He learned from Amram. He had this from the previous Doris to teach him. But Oifim, therefore, Sheyatzom and Moshe Aaron and Miriam. Okay, that's basically this important. So the Rashiva said in this Amos, it's Kemat Beferish, which is such an amazing to hear. Here you had one family. The three greatest Gedolei Hador came from one family. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Right? Yeah, you know, it's just perfect, you know, that I can write. Home run every time. Right? This is Amram's children. Greatest. So I'd ask you, what's their secret? You know, you have a family and all their kids are gems. What's the secret? So I don't know, I would make up so many svaras. Genetically they're better. They're more sincere, they're more motivated, they're bigger masmidim, they have a higher IQ, a lower IQ. I don't know, whatever svara you make up, there's so many, you know, people would come up with so many logical reasons. Why did this person become, why did he succeed? What was his secret of success? What made him into the God of Adar? And not just one. All three people of, so you know, you say there was some schusim, you know, we say by the Kohen Gadol, the mother had a schus that she covered her hair, she sneezed. I know you would think there's some mystical things, Ya'amran Da'avan with Kavana. I would make up 50 million reasons. Says the Siborno that the Torah is made, the main reason why all of Amram's children were the Gedolei Hador is because they had the Rebbeim from the previous generation more than anyone else. So therefore they were greater. Well, that's the difference. But the other Rebbeim were also good. Okay, so they were a drop less good. You know, that alone, that should be, and not just one time it made the difference. Three times. It wasn't just, okay, that this is a straw that broke the camel's back. Straw that breaks the camel's back doesn't break the camel's back three times. Three times. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, they all were the best for this one reason. So Rashiva said, what you basically see, people don't makshiv this. The idea that, okay, my Rebbe, first of all, you know, people don't makshiv that why it's so important to have a chashur Rebbe. Okay, my Rebbe, he's good enough for me. I need the God of Adar to be my Rebbe, and you know, it's also good. But even more than that, you see that what makes the Rebbe greater, his connection to the earlier Dairis. The more you're connected, there's a Hashkafa. This is a basic Hashkafa that we believe of Niskatnu Hadairis. And the more you're created to the earlier Dairis, the greater the person becomes. It's, you know, that's a basic Hashkafa. It's just like a tree. A tree, as it grows, it always gets skinnier. It's basically impossible for a branch in a tree to be wider than the branch that it came from. It's against the laws of nature. Hashem created the Adam Hasharim of Adam Harishon. That was the Bria, the person, the Yitzir Kapav Shel Kosh Baruch Hu. After that, people are going down. It's like they make a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy. It keeps on getting blurry. And Avram Avinu, again, was in the Madrega of Sitkus, and Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then it goes down. And maybe it went, Har Sinai went up temporarily because the Kabbalah Satara was a special Gita Shrina, but then also again it goes down. There's a basic Messiah that the earlier generations, we say, and Rishayim Kimalachim on a Bnei Adam, and we're there, Adam, we're Chamoirim, we're Behemoth. And therefore, if a person wants to know what is the most important thing that I want to really succeed in learning, the most important thing is to have a greater Rebbe. That's what the Rosh Yeshiva Shmuz. It's a very powerful in Yisaitis like a Shmuz. Okay, that was his Shmuz. The Maisa, I just have the Gemara on the back of Sanhedrin, which is just adds a little bit to the Shmuz. It's not really a Shmuz. It just, okay, that we know that person has to have a Rebbe, so to speak, in his formative years. But the question is, do you need to have a Rebbe once you're already a Gadol? So we have here the Gemara, which is the Gemara, it says here, there's a whole long Maisa. This Maisa is quoted in a few places, that it says, the second line, the first line, Kishachot Rebbe, what else are, Niknasu Rebbe Akiva v'chaver v'vakro. So Rebbe Akiva and the other chaverev, these were the other Tanoim, they came to visit Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar was everywhere, was in Cheir, when I came to the story. But it's very clear from the Gemara, if you read through the Gemara, which I assume no one did, so just take my word for it, that this is talking after Rebbe Akiva was already one of the Gedolei Ador. He already learned from Rebbe Elazar all kinds of wild halachas that no one else learned, it brings down, that no one else ever learned these halachas. The Rezer says that he taught certain halachas in Kishuim and in all kinds of strange things. The only person he ever taught them was to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva already is, and it's clear, it's called Rabbi Akiva. You know, Rabbi Akiva and Chaveira. So he's already the God of Adar, one of the Gedolei Adar. So it says at the very end, when you get to the Gemara, so they came to visit him right before he was Nifter, and then he was Nifter. So it says, the Motzoi Shabbos, Pogar Rabbi Akiva bin Aksari Lelud. Rabbi Akiva apparently met the Arin. They were traveling the Arin of Rabbi Elazar from Kisari Lelud to Berryman Lud. And Rabbi Akiva met the procession. Voyamaka Bibsardo, he was hitting himself. Achadomo Shosei Sarah. So he was so hitting himself so much he was bleeding. Pasakala Bishurava Amar Abi Abi Rakhav Yo Parashav. That was the same thing that Elisha said about Elio. Harbe Mos Yeshli. Veni Shukhan Sosim. I have so much knowledge, but I have no one to. It means that you have money, but you have no one to change it into smaller coins or to make it over to Seicher. You have certain, you know, things that I don't know what to do with it. I have certain knowledge, the big checks, but I need someone to explain it to me. So I basically don't know anything. Okay. Obviously, Rav Nosson, it says Rav Kiva pulled out all his hair. Tovis has a kasha. How was he allowed to have hit himself so much? It's usually an iser. Mishum Sarah and Nefesh. Tovis has a special din because of Torah. So Rabbi Akiva, obviously, even though he's just a tremendous gadol, and he already learned Torah from his Rebbe, but the fact that the Rebbe dies, he's extremely sad. Not just sad. He's going, you know, crying hysterically because he wants to learn more. Okay. Which makes sense. Just because you're a gadol, you can always be more. Okay, so that's the background. So now we start the shmooze. The shmooze is doing a little bit strange thing. I'm saying a shmooze on a letter. But okay, I think it's what a shmooze basically just means that we're, you know, what the person means. So this is a letter from the Torah Avram. A letter from the Mashkiach. Torah Avram was a Mashkiach. Avram Kaczynski was a Mashkiach in Sabaka Yeshiva. And I assume this letter was sent to his nephew. The Sefer Mibes Avram is a Sefer from the Torah Avram's nephew who wrote a Sefer. And he put in there letters that were he got from the Torah Avram. I think most of the letters he put in were letters to himself. But I'm not sure. Can't say for sure. Okay, we met when Rabbi Grumblatt. This nephew, he gave us the Sefer. We met him in Bnei Brak. He gave us the Sefer at that time. It's in 77, I think. So he writes like this. Hinach misoinein arichuk she'arav elecha. You are complaining on this distance from the Rebbe from you. In other words, you're separated from the yeshiva. Your Rebbe, meaning that was him, he's the Rebbe. So you're complaining on the distance. You're all by yourselves. You're also complaining about the fact that apparently you got married and you had a marriage is like a Yom Kippur And it was all by yourself, without any of the Bnei Yeshiva. In other words, we don't know the history here, but some reason he went off, he got married, separated himself from the yeshiva, so he didn't have anybody at his wedding, he didn't have his rabbeim, he has to stay with his wife somewhere in some dinky little village, there's no one there, no yeshiva. She says, "V'shnei dvarim eidah mikor hachalham." These two complaints are one basis. The problem is, you want everything to be given to you on a silver platter. If a person wanted to work, the pasuk says a person is supposed to work. Just the opposite. You'd be happy. They have no one to rely on. Lo Rav and lo Rebbe. You'd be happy. Now's your chance to stretch your own muscles. Halo hu muchluch lamo v'lasos mi'atzma. You got to do yourself. V'zeo gadlis. That's real greatness. Now's your chance for real greatness. Ki godo ha-samech zeo katin. Because it's so kado ha-samech ha-shulchan oven is a din of a katin. Okay. In other words, what happened? They complained to, he wrote a letter complaining to his Rebbe, to the Torah Avram, that he's away from the yeshiva, he has no Rebbe, he learned from much from his Rebbe in the past, and now he went out and got married, he's alone, he had to go ahead and leave the yeshiva, and it's all terrible. So the Torah Avram is getting him mussar. He says, you know what your problem is? You want everything on a silver platter. You don't want to work. If you had proper midas and you were ready to work, you'd be happy. Baruch Hashem, now I get a chance to work. That's the letter. The Kli Atzuma is, what is that supposed to mean? Why in the world should it be happy? Rashiva just had this beautiful shmooze that a person's Iker Gavis is his Rebbe. The bigger the Rebbe. His name was also the same name, Rav Avram Grzinski. He stuck in some dinky little village in somewhere in Europe with no Rebbe, no Chaverim. Right? That's what it says. He's all by himself, doesn't have a Rebbe, doesn't have Chaverim, doesn't have Chavrusas. He's sitting by himself, he's getting married, no one's there, no one to learn with. Of course it's a terrible situation. He has a good reason to complain. I think he has a great reason to complain. You see, Rabbi Akiva, when his Rebbe was Nifter, Rabbi Akiva didn't say, "Oh, great, now I have a chance to stretch my own wings." Then Rabbi Akiva did. Rabbi Akiva screamed and cried, and he got blood bleeding. So you see, Klar, that it's not a good situation. So what in the world is the Torah Avram giving his nephew Musar? You should be happy. Right? I'll read it in line again, because you don't have it. Adirabba, hoya sameach bizdamnesu. You would be happy. B'shor she'enu amin ismoch. When a time comes, you have no one to rely on. Lo rav lo rabin. You don't have the group. You don't have the yeshiva. You don't have a rebbe. Halohu muchuch lamo v'lasos mi'atzmo. Because now you get a chance to do it yourself. Beforehand, you were spoiled. Now is a chance. The golden opportunity. Right? It's such a stira. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's the greatest tragedy. Rabbi Akiva is crying hysterically. The Reshiva gives a shmooze that the Rebbe is the most important thing. And the Torah Avram is telling his nephew, you know, you should be happy. You should be happy in this opportunity. So apparently what I think this is pshat, I can't say for sure, is that a person has to be happy with no matter what happens. Sometimes Hashem gives us situations that we, if it was up to us, we wouldn't have chosen. Obviously, if it was up to him, he wouldn't have chosen to be alone, without a Rebbe, without the yeshiva, in some dinky village somewhere. He would never have chosen that, but Hashkacha gave it to him. Now that Hashkacha gave it to him, you got to be happy. You got to find the good in it. Everything has some good in it. That's the nature of this world. In this world, everything has a side bad, and everything has a good side to it. So if this is the situation, if this is, so to speak, the deck of cards that Hashem gave you, then you got to find the good in it and be happy. So yes, intrinsically, if you would ask our opinion from a purely objective standpoint, of course you'd be better off if you're in yeshiva. And of course Rabbi Akiva is going to scream and cry. But afterwards, Rabbi Akiva is also going to be happy. They're both right. Because this is the situation. You got to deal with reality. And you have to accept reality. And you have to find the happiness in reality, because if you don't find the happiness in reality, you can't function. So what he's telling his nephew is, you're complaining about the situation. It's a terrible situation. I have no rabbeim, no chaverim. I'm all alone. So be happy. Why be happy? Because you have to look at it from the other perspective. The other perspective is because the perspective is that the perspective is that it's for my good. Now I can grow more. So I think it's a very, very yesidistic hashkafa that a person, no matter what happens, in a certain sense, from a ben Torah, this is like the greatest tragedy. To be cut off from your Rebbe, cut off from yeshiva, you have no chavrusas, no chaverim, no rabbin below rav. But he's telling him, if you had proper midas, you'd be happy, because you'd see the good in it. Because, not to say that there isn't a bad, but there's also a good. And you gotta, that's the only way a person to function. You have to see the good in the situations. That's right, that's whether, you know, you have to focus on the good. So the Rosh Yeshiva Shmuz is a vade, right? If a person has a choice, if it's biyadenu, then of course we're supposed to choose to try and have the best Rebbe we can have. And we have to work hard to get the best Rebbe. But if for some reason, and unless we can't, okay? So that's what Hashem wants. And then I, if I cared, Hashem wants me to grow a different way. There are other ways to grow. I'm going to grow without the Rebbe. It's also, there's also amazing growth. I can't become a bitter person, an angry person. That's the worst thing in the world. People that are angry and bitter about their situation. You have to be able that in every situation, there's always a bracha in every situation. And therefore, what he's telling him is you have to have simcha. You have to see the bracha, and that's what you have to focus on. You have to forget about the problem, and you have to be happy with it. Because that's the person's chiyuv of functioning in this world, that a person has to be happy with his situation. Okay.